It's late. I've been keeping county council apprised. I was debating the Honorable former Judge Jim Gray on the legalization or illegalization of drugs, and we got into a little spirited discussion. So I'm not going to tell you what side I'm on, but I do chair the anti-drug commission in the county, but other than that. With that introduction, I'd like to call the Thursday, June 18th PFAC meeting to order, and we will have roll call. Let's start from my right this time. This is Orange County.
Carl Groner is present.
From the left side, it's Tom Hammond.
Wallace Rodecker.
John Moore.
Sherry Friedenrich.
Yes, and Lisa Hughes. What a pleasure to be here. Do I have a motion with reference to the minutes of May 21st?
Move to approve.
I'll second, but there are a few minor spelling items that I had brought up earlier to staff that I think will get corrected on it. Nothing that was significant.
And committee member Friedenrich, if you wouldn't mind forwarding a copy of that, I can provide it to Tracy so we can correct those.
I will do so.
Thank you.
Oh, it's only spelling errors. I don't think we need any further discussion. Any other comments on the minutes?
Just that for the second meeting in a row, very superb notes on our minutes.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
And may the record reflect that as well. Call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Next item that we have, Ms. Lester.
Good afternoon, Chair Hughes and committee members. I'm Suzanne Lester from CEO Public Finance. At this time, I would just like to provide a verbal report on the status of a discussion item last week or last month. Time flies. Last month, regarding PFAC's request and desire to be provided the first opportunity to serve on RFP evaluation committee panels. And so we are working on amending the policies and procedures that will go back to the Board of Supervisors to reflect that. In addition, we are meeting with our county procurement office and the county purchasing agent. The county purchasing agent will provide a brief training to PFAC members on county procurement policy, focusing on the RFP process and the evaluation committee process. So we have a meeting scheduled in the next couple weeks with the county procurement office, and then working with county council, we'll amend the policy and procedure language and take that to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Sounds like an excellent response to our request.
I have a question. Does the procedure now state one way or the other about a PFAC member being on the approval committee?
It does not.
Why do you have to do that? I mean, why does that have to be incorporated, formalized, I guess?
Well, it's our thought that it should be formalized because it's a directive from the committee, and second, because in order to be eligible to serve on the committee, we would like, we believe that a PFAC member should have some training on county procurement policies and evaluation committee procedures.
If I can follow up, Mr. Hammond, we have received, and I see you have received it too, the memo with reference to some questions about the procurement process, and I'd like to agendize, if I can, would it be appropriate, Madam Counsel, for executive session, your memo with reference to the procedures and policies?
Not for this meeting, but it can be agendized for another meeting, yes.
Why don't we do that and go into executive session and then talk about the comments that were made? We do want to follow the law to the nth degree, and maybe we all ought to get on that page. Not that we're not, but you can give us more information.
And that's where we're coming from with the training. you know, the committee members aren't county employees. You, how would you have the knowledge of the county procurement policy and how it applies in the RFP process unless there was some training provided? So we'd like to provide that.
Do you have any comments from, yes, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Chair Hughes. Thank you, staff, again. I think this is great to go through that. My only thought to the committee members would be, it's probably been a long time since maybe it's been reviewed. It looks like the last time it might have gone was in 96 to the board. So I'm wondering if we should actually have it provided to us so we can review. I didn't realize it needs to go to the board. That would make sure if there's anything else that needs to be reviewed in it and updated, we would make those recommendations at the same time.
I didn't hear that it had to go to the board.
Right. I think
they
it
wanted
had,
to.
I think that, may I suggest, why don't we have that executive committee meeting before we go to the board?
No. I'm saying that I'd like to review just the general policies and procedures separate from the executive committee. I was just saying, are there other policies and procedures that if they haven't been updated since 1996? And I thought it was in the minutes that it said the last time it went to the board was in 96, or maybe it was
2009. There's a footnote.
Is there? Did it go in 2009?
We had a review then.
Okay, so I don't know. Usually, do you review them every 5 years?
We did have an amendment in 2012. I wouldn't call it a review, but an amendment in 2012 where the policy and procedure was added to provide for the PFAC public member stipend.
That was you, Mr. Hammond.
Yeah.
That was causing problems.
You're welcome.
But what I was suggesting, our treasurer here, mm-hmm. is that before, if we were going to be talking about amendment of the policies and procedures, and PFAC would want to weigh in on perhaps some suggestions of, from our perspective, what might be appropriate, mm-hmm. Couldn't we discuss that in executive session?
Not as it relates to the policies and procedures in general. That's not a matter that would qualify for a closed session item.
How about your memo?
That would.
Okay, well, how about we agendize a closed session and then we agendize policies and procedures as a subject area for the next meeting? Do I have any comments on that suggestion? Everybody agree?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we do that? And then we can, and please circulate ahead of time, Ms. Lester, the existing policies and procedures and your suggestions if you have any.
We will do that.
Okay. Can you do it in a PDF form for me?
We may end up having to correspond with you, Mr. Moore, by mail, and we'll do whatever we
Stone
need to
tablets.
Do.
I don't care. I just like to see it ahead of time.
By pigeon?
Because I'm at a loss. We might talk to we will talk to our IT folks and let them know the challenge we have with getting you a PDF.
In other words, he doesn't use an iPhone?
I do.
He does, actually.
Okay.
And can't you, in Word, can't you convert everything to PDF, theoretically? I'm sorry, through the chair, Chair Hughes. I know in our Word documents, because I also, on the BlackBerry, I cannot accept a Word document. So what I ask my secretary to do is she just converts it to PDF, and then it opens right up in my BlackBerry, and I can see it. But if she sends me a Word document, I can't open it. So she just converts it in her Word. Mm-hmm. It just says convert to PDF. So that might be an option, too.
I think that is what we're doing, but there seems to be a challenge. One challenge.
There's about three straight lines with that, and I'm going to ignore all of those.
As I did.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you for that update, Ms. Lester, and I think we'll get it fleshed out and with County Council as well next meeting. And let's move on to the next item, unless anybody else has any further comments. And that would be item 4, the approval of selection of Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe LLP as bond counsel.
Have we finished this? Excuse me. Have we finished the discussion on the memorandum here, number 3?
We can't.
We're going to discuss
that. We're going to go in executive session on it next time.
Okay. All right. So that's what you were talking about.
And we're going to agendize policies and procedures for next meeting and have the existing and proposed policy changes sent out to us before next meeting.
Okay.
Apparently Any other questions on that discussion? Okay. Is that okay, Mr. Hammond?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. With that, we were on item four. Would you please read the agenda item, Ms. Lester?
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Hughes and committee members. I'm Suzanne Lester from CEO Public Finance. The agenda item is to approve the selection of bond counsel and disclosure counsel for the 800 megahertz countywide coordinated communication system upgrade financing. At last month's committee meeting on May 21st, CEO Public Finance requested approval of the selection of Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe as bond counsel and Squire, Patton, Boggs as disclosure counsel for the proposed 800 megahertz upgrade financing. On April 9th, 2015 and April 21st, 2015, PFAC and the Board of Supervisors respectively approved the concept of the financing and the selection of K&N Public Finance as the financial advisor and Citigroup Global Markets as the underwriter. Now, is just to take a little bit of step back and provide a little bit more detailed, it's for the most part provided in the staff report, but to go into the reasons that we're recommending a separation of bond counsel and disclosure counsel for this financing. As stated in the staff report, last year the SEC announced an initiative focusing on strengthening and improving the accuracy of bond issuer disclosure. The SEC's renewed focus on bond disclosure caused issuers nationwide to review their practices and procedures. But even before the SEC announced its initiative, the county had already begun reviewing its own procedures and practices and found that we were not perfect. And nothing less than perfect is acceptable for the county in its disclosure process. So some of the steps that we've taken so far to improve the process, we've reviewed previous continuing disclosure annual reports, filings that are required annually for outstanding bond debt. We've reviewed those reports that were filed on EMMA, the Electronic Municipal Market Access Electronic Repository. We've reviewed and we're continuing to review and update procedures related to filing of our continuing disclosure annual reports. We've updated our updated procedures and practices will be reviewed and validated by a disclosure expert that we have on contract in the next couple of months. They're going to come in and review our controls and our policies and practices and provide recommendations and or validate what we're doing right. Bond disclosure training will be provided to county staff, public officials, as well as we plan to bring that training to the Public Financing Advisory Committee later this year. So the next step in the county's focus on strengthening and maintaining improved bond disclosure practices is to recommend the selection of a separate bond counsel and disclosure counsel for the county's next long-term debt issuance to be considered. The disclosure counsel would focus on the preparation of the official statement with the issuer disclosures contained within the statement. As our county counsel mentioned at the last meeting, at a recent conference she attended of bond attorneys, there was discussion of and acknowledgement of the trend towards separating the bond counsel and the disclosure counsel function since the SEC's renewed disclosure focus. I've also had discussions since our last meeting with a couple of my peers from neighboring municipalities, Riverside County and City of Los Angeles. I was reviewing official statements on EMMA and noticed, and I had already known this of the City of Los Angeles, but it's both of their practice to always separate the bond counsel and disclosure counsel function. Both find that separating the function and having that second set of eyes with a specific focus provides an extra level of protection for the issuer, and that the, you know, acknowledging that there is a small difference in price is insignificant when measured against the increased scrutiny that disclosure is receiving and the security that is provided to the issuer. And the county has done this before, most recently in 2005 with the refunding of the county's bankruptcy recovery debt. Since that time, with the exception of the 2006 cogeneration facility bond issue, all new money issuances of the county have been short-term in nature for cash flow purposes. The county has not contemplated a new general fund-backed long-term debt issuance until the present with the need for the 800 megahertz upgrade. Now, last month, the committee did not approve the staff recommendation on a 4-3 vote to approve the bond council and separate disclosure council, in part because estimated expenses were not included as part of the scoring of the fee proposal. Instead, staff was directed to go back and rescore the fee proposal portion to include the estimated expenses and to solicit a fee proposal for of the combined bond council and disclosure council service, including the estimated expense. Now, we have done that, and I did meet with committee member Friedenrich this morning to walk through it, and she brought a few things to my attention. One of them being that, so when we solicited for the combined bond council and disclosure council, including expenses, we got a new proposal for those combined services and new expenses. And in the case of a couple, the proposers, they reduced the expense fee. And I took that and I applied it not only to the combined bond council and disclosure council, but also the individual as well. And committee member Friedenrich brought it to my attention that she questioned our ability to do that. And I came back to the office and I spoke to Angie Daftrey, our county council, and she agreed with not only that, but with the combined solicitation can be presented as an FYI, but because the evaluation committee did not recommend it, it can only be considered as FYI. And if you, Angie, if you wouldn't mind.
Weren't you going to rebid it?
That was not our direction then. That was not the direction that was in the minutes. What the direction was to recalculate the fees and expenses and to solicit a combined bid.
On page 4 of the minutes, Chair Hughes asked for a motion. Member Friedenrich made a motion to send back to the interview panel to correct the fee portion, to make sure that the fees are gathered properly, and to bring back to the board at a special meeting if we need to. Mr. Moore added to rebid on the combined fee for bond and disclosure council.
Now, when I clarified, it wasn't to rebid the whole thing. That would take months to rebid the whole thing. What was reclarified was that the committee wanted to know what would be the bid for a combined proposal, because you wanted to evaluate that price differential between a combined service and a separate service. And then we did go back and recalculate the individual services, including the fee.
That wasn't my understanding.
That wasn't mine.
Be that as it may.
Right.
Do we have a representative here from ORIC?
Yes, we do. We have Mr. Phil Morgan is here from ORIC, and we have Thomas Bruder from
Squire Patton Boggs.
May I make a point, please? First off, the last meeting, we did not have the information about the relevance of the SEC point of view or the directive or whatever they put out. We had a, Ms. Daffery made a comment that her colleagues thought it was a good idea, but that's the only information we had going forward on this. And as I read this and as I understand it, that the staff feels very strongly about having bond counsel and disclosure counsel separate. Therefore, to me, I think that overrides the purpose of bidding a combined RFP. I mean, I don't see the point. The point is you want to do it and you think it's a good idea and it sounds like it's a rational argument. So my view is what we should have done last time was to approve this, take it to the board, alert them that we're concerned about this separate disclosure, let them do their homework, let them figure it out. So to me, this exercise is irrelevant.
Mr. Hammond, if I can give you more information, which I know will be supported by staff, this issue did come before a PFAC meeting, and in fact, the discussion was being out of potentially out of compliance with disclosure, and it was about, what, a year ago? Several meetings ago. And it is my understanding that the Board of Supervisors have met in executive committee with reference to the issues of bond disclosure, and that this has been a hot topic that has been on the forefront. And I recall that distinctly when it was in the back of my mind when I was having these discussions and, in fact, made a comment, I believe, to Ms. Lester, our county council, does this have anything to do with the previous issues with reference to bond counsel? You all recall I made that comment. So, no, it's not coming out of left field, at least for me. I knew exactly where they were going. And the problem is we don't have the benefit of the information that I'm sure was provided to the Board of Supervisors at that executive committee meeting as to what's happening here. The fact that the SEC has found several municipalities, is my understanding, out of compliance for disclosure was very concerning to me then. It's very concerning to me now. And what I wanted to do was ask ORIC to come forward and answer some questions, and not in a defensive posture. I just need to know why, because it would seem to me that if for years, and for the record, you are?
Good afternoon. I'm Phil Morgan with ORIC Harrington and Sutcliffe.
Which, by the way, is an outstanding firm who has handled, for the record, many, many, many of our transactions. And then all of a sudden we're presented with the factors I summarized just a few minutes ago and would like to know why or what is your opinion. And does ORIC agree that we now need to have separate disclosure counsel? And if so, why?
Well, in the municipal industry, certainly not uncommon, particularly years ago, to have one firm do bond counsel work and disclosure counsel work. However, I must say that in recent years, particularly with the focus by the SEC on disclosure, it is becoming more and more common, and certainly I think the trend as I see it is to have separate firms. Have a bond counsel firm, have a separate firm do the disclosure work. While it might be somewhat more expensive, I think a lot of issuers see a benefit in having two firms review your disclosure, and you get some security, some additional security by having two sets of eyes review the disclosure document. So there's some enhanced, I think, comfort given to an issuer.
I wonder if I could ask you at the SEC, what document, what are you working under? They keep saying that the SEC is focusing on it. Could you give us a source and could we get copies of that?
Yes, it's the anti-fraud provisions in the Securities and Exchange Act of 33 and 1934.
And what section, sir?
It's 10b-5.
And it's been recently updated?
No.
I didn't
know.
So.
The securities laws under which the SEC is operating go back many years, it's a renewed emphasis by the SEC to review municipal disclosures. The SEC thinks that there are some failures in municipalities in their disclosure, and they have really focused on this the last 4 or 5 years.
That means there's a pronouncement, because you've just cited what is the basic law. So what I think we're looking for is what specific pronouncement, ruling, regulation that we can cite to.
Right. It's been more investigations and actions against different municipal entities taken by the SEC, cease and desist orders against some municipalities. So it's more action that's been taken by the SEC, not so much rulings.
Well, they do a cease and desist. There's some background. Yes.
Right.
Through the chair, if I might ask, you know, generally, because I do want to support staff in looking at, you know, whether it's separate. I just came back from my county treasurer's conference. We did have a session. Most treasurers around the state that are county treasurers do have debt underneath them. Here at the county, it's a little different, but I also do the school bond financing. So we did have several people, and I did bring up that question. And certainly it seems like there is a trend a little, but one of the keys that I think to go to separate counsel, you know, for me as a CPA, the important thing is for the SEC, and I'm not sure if you know Mr. Morgan or not, were the entities, the government entities that were found to be in violation, do we know if they had separate disclosure counsel, or if it was one counsel would be a question, if you know, or two, if a bond firm such as yourself is going to be doing disclosure in the future, because of the significance of the SEC, would you just say, I need to allocate X more hours to make sure that we do that because that focus is there? So that's the second question. And then the third is, you know, for if we do have two separate bond counsel and disclosure counsels, does that mean that the bond counsel doesn't do anything on the OS and it's only the disclosure counsel? I mean, what happens? Do you get those two views, as you mentioned, which, you know, if you're paying both to look at it, then you'll recognize that you're sort of paying one part of disclosure and not. So I'm sorry, I don't know if you have remember those three questions, but I did hear that, you know, there is more movement also, I think, as county council has mentioned. I just want to make sure that we're not just overpaying for people to do it, that we're doing it for the right reasons, that we really want to have that extra. And what does that bring to us? Mr. Morgan, thank you.
As to your first question, I'm not sure if for these particular entities, if they had separate disclosure counsel or not, or bond counsel perform both roles. In terms of were we bond counsel and a different firm disclosure counsel, we do opine on certain parts of the official statement.
Mm-hmm.
We'd review the section that summarizes the bonds. We typically would review the security section. We review the tax exempt section since we're giving the tax exempt opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give an opinion, though, as bond counsel on the disclosure regarding the county, your Appendix A mm-hmm. in your official statement. We would read it. Most bond counsel will read it. They'll provide some comments in mm-hmm. meetings. So you get sort of an informal input, not an opinion,
mm-hmm.
but you'll have another firm reading it. And then disclosure counsel is responsible for that section. Mm-hmm. And they give the opinion.
So if you were disclosure counsel, you would then take a much more in-depth review.
Yes.
And so when it's included in the total, you would do both. And otherwise, you may look at it, but it's not nearly you aren't going to go through it in depth as if you were the disclosure counsel.
That's right. It's not our responsibility.
You know,
we're in the meetings, we'll comment, but it's not our responsibility to review or opine as bond counsel on Appendix A.
Right, and then the last thing I might indicate that I did, and I think I want to thank Suzanne for coming to meet with me this morning on items. I very much appreciate it. I know how busy her schedule is, especially with the PFAC meeting today, and I thank her very much. I did let her know that one of the suggestions coming out of the meeting was that when you're looking for disclosure counsel, you should get a sample of what you expect them to produce so that you know what you're really getting from each of those, because some apparently have literally, they may not do, you know, what they provide you is so boilerplate that you really don't even know that they do anything, and others do talk about the due diligence and they do talk about the items. And I think her understanding with looking at the current counsel that they're looking at does much more an in-depth letter, which made me feel a lot more comfortable that we are getting something for those dollars. But thank you again for answering, Mr. Morgan, those questions, and thank you again for staff for meeting with me this morning and help clarify for me.
Before we get to Mr. Moore, is just dying to jump in here. I want to ask a question. You, of course, are bond counsel throughout the state for substantially,
yes,
most of it. I'd like to ask you a question. In the last 5 years in the state of California, have you been bond counsel for any of these municipalities that have had a cease and desist?
No.
Okay. So it ain't broke. Why are we fixing it? With that, Mr. Moore.
That was basically what I was going to ask. As far as, I'm sure you do both. You must have plenty of clients that you do both, huh?
We do.
Okay.
So
that's why I can't quite get, you know, the SEC, sure, they look at companies, they look at municipalities, but that could be because they're not doing it very well.
May I?
I couldn't stop you if I tried.
Yes, you could.
No, go ahead, Mr. Hammond.
I don't know why we are second-guessing the Public Finance Department here, and to some extent, ORIC. I mean, if they believe that they need separate counsel, I think it's far beyond PFAC to judge their judgment. I think that we have done our job. We've brought it to light. There's sunshine on it. The board knows about it. We've done our job, and I think that's our purpose. We are not to argue and debate the relative merits of separate counsel. That's my view.
Reading the memo that we're going to discuss in executive counsel, I respectfully disagree, Mr. Hammond, but with that, and that's what makes a party, with that, Ms. Counsel, and I'm a lawyer too, and a CPA, with a little bit of background in this, is it your opinion, or can you express one right now? Are you recommending to PFAC that with reference to this subject issuance, which is the only one before us, is it your legal opinion that the county would be better served for this issuance to have separate counsel, or would ORIC be in a position to provide quality legal services without putting us at risk at all? Now, that's a compliment to you, by the way.
Yes, thank you. We certainly are able to be both bond and disclosure counsel. We've done it before, we're able to do it, we're experts at it. That said, there are strong reasons for an issuer to want to have separate disclosure counsel, and I understand that.
That wasn't my question.
But we are able to do both.
No, my question was on this issuance, today, as we stand here, as a representative of ORIC, are you telling us that, as a lawyer, we should get separate counsel?
No.
That's what I thought you'd say.
No.
Yes, Mr. Moore?
I have a question, but it's not related to the...
Madam Treasurer?
I was going to make a motion because I heard from County Council that even though we went out for this separate information, it's not information that we can use. And if I see her nodding, I think that we've made it fairly clear we'd like the public finance section to perhaps really maybe put this either in writing or review something, because the next time this comes up, I think we still have some questions that are out there regarding whether we need this. I mean, I think that that's certainly important, that the county needs to make sure that the reasons are well documented. I think in this case, you know, based on the discussions, and certainly with I know in our meeting this morning, there's other information that we've maybe had but not all concisely put together. But I do think we do need to make sure we move on, because this timing is of the importance. The Federal Reserve yesterday did not raise rates, but they are in the process of looking at it. And I know that this financing needs to move on. I think the public finance is aware of our concerns and some things. I don't know that we can do very much. I did also talk with staff about the rating, because on the sheets, if you'll notice, for just bond counsel, there are two that have exactly, let's see, that have exactly the same rating for the fee. So what happened is the way the county calculates the fee, it came out that they both have the same 75, which I disagree. I mean, I agree with the county calculates this. It really should have been probably one of them was 271.5 and one was 272. And so with that, I accept, even though it looks like they, you know, they are, you know, they should have been, one of them should have been dinged because of the way the county calculates the fee in this case. I'm okay with that, but I would ask that they consider looking at a different scoring because there was differences in price and it really isn't reflected in that final. That was my issue to go. But so with that, I would go ahead and move that we recommend as bond counsel, Orrick Harrington and Suddenklin as bond counsel for this issue. And then I would probably like a separate motion for the other because I've got some input on the other that I just wanted to bring up. So that would be my motion.
Okay. I don't hear a second yet, but.
Well, I'll second that.
Okay.
May I ask just a question? You intend to have another motion for?
Right. The other only other question I had on the second is what I wanted it separately is when I look at the, when I look at the gradings, I'd like staff to discuss the ratings for the disclosure counselor. Again, the total points are 262 and 262. And as I talked with her this morning, it didn't describe why we were picking them. It didn't describe that the points were the same. Mm-hmm. And we needed to have a difference because we should have some explanation as to why we're picking one when their scoring was exactly the same. The scoring was different than the first time because I think they had revised their fees and some other things that it sounds like council is okay with letting us put through. But I did want to put on the record as to why they were reviewing that. And I wanted to make sure that I was comfortable with that before I made that motion. So that's really the main reason is they both had the same ratings. Squire Patton had the same ratings as Straddling Yoka. They were both at 262. That was the top rating. No deference to Orrick. They rated at 252, so they weren't in that top two, and I just wanted that information. So that's why I made only one motion at this time.
Do you have the memo that council provided for us?
I do.
Okay, I'd like to refer everybody to the analysis page, and I have a question to ask.
Is there a page number?
There's no page number on it. Oh, page three. Mm-hmm. One, two, three, fourth paragraph down. County Council, Madam Council, if you can find that as well. In a memo to us from our lawyer, it stated that when discussing what our role is, second under section 4 of the policies, PFACT is responsible for the selection and hiring of the financing professionals. That's what it says, is it not?
Yes.
Is that what our regs say?
What's the point?
We're responsible for the selection and hiring. It doesn't say staff is responsible for the selection and hiring. It doesn't say county council's responsible. It doesn't say the executive director is responsible. It says under section 4 of the policies, PFAC, that's us, is responsible for the selection and hiring of the financing professionals such as the financial advisor, bond counsel, and underwriting financing professionals, which assist the county in the proposed public financing. Section 4 specifically provides in this regard, the committee, subject to the ratification by the Board of Supervisors, not the Board of Supervisors picking it, subject to the ratification of the Board of Supervisors, shall, and that's a mandatory term, we lawyers know that's mandatory, that's not permissive, shall be responsible for the selection of all financing professionals engaged to assist in a public financing. No financing professional, including the financial advisor, shall be involved in the selection process, and that's, we're talking about the process, that's what we were talking about earlier.
So it seems to me, unless somebody can convince me otherwise, it's the other way around.
May I ask Ms. Daffery if she means, she wrote this, second, is responsible for, do you mean for, or do you mean for recommending?
It's for the recommendation. The selection.
So you meant recommending, as opposed to for.
The selection.
The chairman is hung up on this.
Well, no, is it a quote, or is it not?
Ratification. It says subject to ratification.
It's not a quote.
Which part? The
it says second, under section four of policy, PFAC is responsible for. And Ms. Hughes is claiming that means we're solely responsible.
It has to be done within the context of an RFP process. The committee cannot on its own select a financing professional without going through the RFP process of bidding the arm's length transaction.
I understand that. Assuming we do that, does that mean that we are responsible for it, or does it mean we're responsible for recommending?
You're responsible for recommending.
That's what you meant to say.
Yes.
But that's not what you said.
No.
Well,
that's what you meant.
And then
you
why
have
does
to
it say it. That the board ratifies?
Because the board has the ultimate authority to do the selection and the hiring. The board retains the plenary power to decide who it's going to contract with. The committee is tasked with providing the recommendation to the board, and then the board does the final selection. When it says the committee subject to ratification by the board at the end holds the ultimate power.
Well, that's true, but that's not an opposite to what in the common reading of this document.
She drafted it poorly. That's what she admitted.
Well, and I don't want to say that. I'm very proud of our county council.
I'm just saying, I mean, this is a real nit because it's important. I mean, the point is that this whole memo goes on to say PFAC job is to recommend to the board. And the board may or may not take our recommendation.
That's not what it says.
It sure does. The whole memo says that.
Read paragraph 2 on that page, and I'll read it for the record.
No, that's not true.
The committee shall, that's mandatory, with regard to all proposed public financings.
Shall recommend.
Consider, review, and confer regarding such proposed financings. No proposed public financing shall, mandatory, be considered by the Board of Supervisors. They can't even consider it.
They can consider it, but they don't have to take our recommendation.
Except, you didn't finish the sentence. Except upon the express written recommendation of the committee. They can't even consider it under what you gave us.
Actually, there is a provision where if the committee did
not approve staff's recommendation,
it can nevertheless go to the board, and the board can override the committee's recommendation or denial by 4/5 vote.
Where is that?
Sure, first of all, that's not in this memo. Second of all, that says it goes to the board. There is a procedure that if they don't like our recommendation, obviously they can do something with it. But County Council, the memo that you gave us in response to what can we do, because Mr. Hammond and I have this argument, and I don't want to say, Mr. Hammond, that I'm older than you, but I was on this committee when it got put together and why it got put together. And it truly is an operative oversight board, that it is the responsibility of this board to do exactly as you said, which is to, with regard to all financing, shall do. So I respectfully disagree. So where do we go from there? Either if the memo is not a clear and concise and appropriate recommendation of what the law is, resubmit it before we go into executive committee. This is something that I wanted to talk about there. And when we go to whether or not you're going to vote on this, I do not feel personally, and I will say this as a member of this committee, that because staff has made a recommendation that the committee has to rubber stamp it, if there is a legitimate concern that the members of this, and they have to be by majority, that it doesn't necessarily mean that that is our recommendation. Otherwise, you take the word shall out, because the courts, and as a lawyer, we know that is mandatory language. May is permissive. If they say you may review it, you may do that, you can do whatever you want to do. Is that correct, our counsel from ORIC? If that is what we're supposed to do,
We have that responsibility. And there was, I take that responsibility very serious. I'm very proud of council and very proud of staff. And your recommendations have great weight and great merit. But it doesn't mean that we have to take them just because that's the recommendation. That's why we're here. So there's more to this than meets the eye. There is more to what has happened with the SEC.
Yeah.
There is the knee-jerk reaction because some of the municipalities have been sanctioned with cease and desist orders and other actions. And County of Orange has had a stellar record is what I am aware of. I ask you that question point blank, counsel. You said no. Are you aware of any issues of cease and desist in the County of Orange that you know of?
Am I aware of any cease and desist right. orders post 1990?
Right. Right.
No, not since the mid-90s.
And that was the bankruptcy and all that. That's why we clarified that.
Which is still in effect.
Right. Which is the understanding. So this, we've got a trend and we've got to pay double because we're worried that something may happen. Maybe we do in the future. But maybe we do it after we have a complete and thorough understanding of what the issues are. We haven't had the opportunity to vet it. We have looked at that. Then that's a different horse.
I think that was a nice speech. However, I think that having sat here on this chair for 17 years and having been through this issue about what is PFAC's job and not their job, I would like to make a motion.
We got one on the floor.
I'd like to put a second motion. And the act would be to approve the selection of Warwick Harrington as bond counsel and to approve the selection of Squire Patton as disclosure counsel.
Okay. County Council, help me out here. We have a motion by the treasurer,
with
and it was
seconded.
So our procedure is, would you repeat the Madam Treasurer's motion?
My motion was just to approve Warwick Harrington as bond counsel because I had some additional questions that I wanted answered before that's why I asked it to separate the two motions, and I would still like to have that if that's the case before I would vote.
So if I can clarify.
I would be voting no just because I'd like to have that additional clarification.
If I can get some clarification on that, we're approving them for the first part of this and we're not talking about the second part.
Right, and if I might clarify, I might not have stated my reasons as carefully. I agree that we do need to look at these because I'm not interested in spending additional dollars to duplicate services. And as you saw, I had several questions that tried to get to that. But I looked at the total, which was $79,500, which would be the total for the two. I looked at the totals separately that they proposed, which was $65,000. So we have a difference of $14,500. And because of the urgency of going with where interest rates may be, that's really where I felt the $14,000, which was really at FYI, we would have to go out for rebid. That's why I moved the first motion, even though I do concur with our chair that we do have the responsibility and we don't have to go with staff's recommendation. But I felt for the time, the small amount of difference was not enough to overwhelm in case we have to pay a significantly different higher interest cost, which could become very expensive when you're looking at a long-term period. And we don't know what interest rates are going to go. But that was my clarification. Thank you.
So we're leaving the second one, the question of the second one open.
Well, in my motion, it just has the first.
Okay. And it's already been seconded?
And it's already been seconded.
Okay.
And I had a question that I didn't bring up earlier on the 800 megahertz. There was a question about how many radios we were going to buy, and you were going to check that out for us?
And there are several hundred radios, but we haven't determined if we're going to finance those yet. That would come back as part of the analysis. We're going to look at the budget. We're going to look at the cost and see if what makes the most sense economically for the county to pay as you go over a number of years, or if it makes more sense to to finance the radios.
My concern was we have long-term financing for something that doesn't have long-term life, and that's where I was concerned.
Well, and that's part of the complexity, the additional complexity of this financing is that the legal structure, will likely be different because we have a backbone that has a longer life, and then we have a radio with a shorter life. So that may, if the county wants to recommend the financing of the radios, we may have a, you know, I don't know if it would be a different series, but a different structure for the two components.
Right now, we're just talking about the professionals who are going to advise us, right?
Right. Right.
So correct. Correct.
That is a very appropriate subject area. But, County, Madam Counsel, we have a motion. We can't take a second motion until we vote on the first one, right?
That's right.
That was my understanding. Yes, Mr.
Madam Chair, I apologize for being late, but may I provide some additional information on the 800 megahertz radios? So the radios have obviously a shorter useful life. So there are multiple options for us to consider. There is financing available through Motorola, the vendor themselves, at a shorter time frame, but likely at a higher interest rate. There is a cash financing option where we would look at our own internal capacity. And then there is obviously this longer term bond option, which we might do as a second series. So all those are open, but we, in terms of what we recommend to the board, we won't make a decision on that until we're farther along down the path. So today we couldn't clearly tell you what we intend to do. But
and the only issue before us now is, and according to this memo, we have one choice, up or down. We can either approve this motion or we can not approve it. That is clear to me. Anybody else have any other understanding? We can't amend it. We can't rebid it. We can either say we approve it or we disapprove of it.
Or we can make recommendations along with the approval.
You can't make recommendations to it?
We've done it for 17 years.
Well, that's what this memo says you can't do.
That's not true.
If you approve the recommendation and the committee has concerns or a statement that you would like the board to consider, staff can include that as part of their ASR to the board. The board can be apprised of your concerns or any issue that you may have with your approval.
Doesn't affect this selection.
Right. It's up or down.
It's up or down.
That's right. But if you have...
That's just a memo to the Board of Supervisors that we want to look to.
That's the way it's been for 20 years.
But the fact that's the way it's been, women couldn't vote till a certain time, doesn't mean it was right.
That's irrelevant.
I know. But the fact that it was that way doesn't mean that you can't ask the questions and you can't look at what the policies are.
An example could be if you approve, let's say, the separate council. You can approve the recommendation, and then as part of the ASR, staff can include the committee's concern that about the feasibility of that, you know, preferring maybe that the board consider combining the services, and the board ultimately will make that decision. But it comes with the staff's approval, your recommendation, with your concerns. It can be done that way, and it has.
Okay, well.
I second Ms. Friedenrich's motion.
We already had a second, didn't we?
It was yours, yeah.
It was Mr. Hammond.
Yes. So you resecond her motion.
I resecond her motion.
Any further discussion?
Just to weigh in on my opinion, we're called Public Finance Advisory, not Public Finance Approval. And I believe that Chair Hughes is correct in her opinion and her interpretation of our duties here, and I believe that while staff has done an excellent job on this, I concur that it is not always our job to agree. We may see things from a different perspective, such as we do here today, or at least some of us do, on the issue of council and multiple councils. Just my opinion.
Well. You're on here to render your opinion.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Okay, I think we need to take a roll call vote on this. Madam Counsel, would you start, please? We'll take a roll call vote.
Can I ask the clerk?
Tracy?
The clerk of the committee.
The clerk of the committee will take a roll call.
The
Tracy, just go down the row and just call out a name, and then they'll say.
Okay. Member Friedenrich?
Yes.
Want the record to reflect.
Member Moore?
This is.
I'm not ready to vote, Jen.
Member Rodecker?
Yes.
Pass for a minute.
Member Hammond?
Yes.
Member Groner?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes. With the advisory. Is there another motion on the floor?
I would make a motion, please.
Yes.
To approve the selection of Squire Patton Boggs as disclosure counsel for the CCCS financing.
I would second the motion.
Any further discussion? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. When I look at the scoring sheets, I see that they have rated both a 262. And I notice in the agenda item number 3, where it talks about disclosure counsel, it just indicates the recommendation and provides their qualifications, but it does not identify anything as to why the recommendation is for them when the pricing or the points are the same. I'd like staff to please provide some input on that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Member Friedenrich. Both firms are excellent firms. The three firms that rose to the top were just within a couple of points of each other by the evaluation committee's scoring, and the two firms, Squire and Stradling, Yucca, Carlson, and Routh, came up as tied. And it's a matter of a recommendation for Squire as a firm who has been on our qualified panel for quite some time. We're looking at a long-term view and a workload issue. The long-term view, as in the best interest of the county, we believe it's beneficial to have a wide range of counsel and consultants that we gain experience with, that we can call on when we need them. We're currently working with Stradling, Yucca, Carlson, and Routh on 3 bond issues. We work with them on multifamily housing advisory. So the opportunity to add another firm, Squire Patton Boggs, to that mix, we feel is in the best interest of the county.
I have a question on the scoring. Were they rounded at all, either one of those scores?
Yes.
Who had the absolute highest number?
Stradling.
A local firm.
A local firm.
But in using the county procurement office ratio method of scoring that's in the contract policy manual and consistency with our past scoring practices, we've always used whole numbers.
Thank you, Chair Hughes. Thank you very much. Just 2 follow-up questions. So when I look at the scoring sheets, I appreciate your input. One of the items you mentioned is the, diversity, but the other you mentioned was the ability to not overbook, I don't recall the exact words, but to be able to commit. Now, when I look at the summary form, one of the items says demonstration of commitment to Orange County and availability of lead consultant from local offices. And Squire Patton, which I believe is in LA, is a 37, and Stradling Yucca is a 45. Mm-hmm. So it just seems inconsistent with what you mentioned about the commitment to the local office. So I just have a question on that, because that seems to differ from what you mentioned. And then the other item, I know we mentioned this morning that I didn't go back to the CPM, is that the CPM gives, if there is a tie, it gives preference to a local vendor. And I don't know if LA is in the local area or what that local area is. I didn't do any investigation on that, but it does sound like when you said, if you go to the fractions, mm-hmm. the other actually had the hire, and the first one I said, because ORIC had the hire, even though it was a fraction, I felt that that was the right choice to make. But on this one, if they're actually lower, I would just, you know, it doesn't seem, is there other reasons? Because for me, that's not as compelling. I've got to look at those factual information to make sure I'm making a decision as the as a board member of the right financing person that's not in conflict.
Well, the scoring is somewhat subjective. I mean, it's the evaluation panel, you know, scoring. There is a panel discussion where thoughts are exchanged, and then, you know, the goal is to eliminate wide variances and come to somewhat of a consensus and a consensus recommendation.
What happens if we have now approved the bond council, and what happens if the disclosure council isn't approved? For example, because it's not local and it didn't have the absolute highest score. What does that do to the financing process here?
Well, Chair Hughes, I mean, it would delay, because the next step is to get all the folks together and begin working on the legal and the disclosure documents, and as well as the financial analysis.
Mr. Hammond?
Thank you. I'd like to make 2 points. First point is that not in all fields of law, but there's something to be said for, in securities law, for having a national firm that has a broad reach. I mean, I understand the argument about homegrown is great, but there's nothing wrong with having a law firm and securities work that has a national reach. And secondly, if I have read Mrs. Daffery's memo correctly, PFAC does not have the authority to change the recommendation of the committee. Is that correct?
The recommendation, that's right, the evaluation panel.
Right, the evaluation.
Right.
We do not have the authority to do that. So that means we would turn it down. You'd have to go back and go through the whole process again.
That was my question.
Correct.
Correct.
For the Disclosure Council, correct.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess my question is, the pricing, the total points changed between what we saw last month and this month. So I would say that the committee has not relooked at the new information, because last time, if I have my numbers right, we had Squire Patton was at 259 and Stradling was at 256. So clearly, I would say that Squire Patton would have been my recommendation, because they had a higher score. My dilemma is this time, and that was why I was wondering about the fees, how you could, you know, they now are at the same score, and that's my dilemma, because I think the committee actually picked Squire Patton, and I would have agreed if we were separating them, which we haven't finalized if that's decision, because we've just made one. We haven't made that second choice yet. But, you know, they are in a different scoring pattern than what the committee saw. So
how can that be?
Because, Chair Hughes, last month we provided the pricing information without the estimated expenses. And that's because, first of all, the expenses are a very small portion, and usually they're estimated expenses. The expenses, in fact, after the recommendation, can be negotiated, and they're only paid upon approval of the county. The contract administrator, being CEO Public Finance, has that discretion to negotiate and approve the expenses incurred.
So the issue in front of us here is we've already held this deal up recklessly, in my opinion, for 30 days. To not vote for Squire Patton would be to put it off another 30 days and 60 days, which is, in my opinion, a waste of resources for your staff and everybody else. This deal must go forward soon, I would think. It can't be put off another 30 days. And what we're arguing about is minuscule. It's tedious. Obviously, the finance staff feels the Squire Patton should be chosen. And they might have some subjective reasons that don't quite fit into the scoring pattern. I understand that. But nevertheless, my opinion is we have to defer to the staff. Mr. Kim, weigh in on this.
I think the important thing is that whenever we convene a committee to do scoring, the ground rules for how that process works is consistent because we're following a county process. And at the conclusion of that, if we have a recommendation, that is what it is. So for us, from a county staff perspective, I think we have a very difficult time saying that we can recommend anything other than what the natural scoring process resulted in terms of a recommendation. So for me, it's at this point, it's really with the policymakers in terms of the PFAC committee to make a decision in terms of whether you support the staff recommendation or not. We can't go back and rescore that kind of a process.
Frank, not asking for that. If you don't round it, if you use the absolute numbers, that does make a difference.
Right.
So you're not, all it is.
But that is an accepted method within the procurement process is to use rounded numbers. So I understand that looking back on it, that while we didn't know that we were going to have two firms that came in at the same score without using rounded numbers, I think it makes sense that since we have so many qualified professionals bidding on our contracts, that in the future we might say, let's abandon that and let's stick with non-rounded numbers. But you see, the important thing is that we don't know that ahead of time.
Right.
And whatever ground rules that we set for the scoring, we have to hold true to those from beginning to the end of this one process. And I think that just because we ended up with a tie, which always has been a consideration within the county procurement process, that if we decide that we're going to change the process and then go to a non-rounded scoring at the end, I think that brings in even more subjectivity into what the process is. The existing county process allows for a tie and identifies the process for which of how to work that out.
And what does it say, Mr. Kim?
My understanding is, and council will have to help me on this, is that
local preference?
In the event of a tie that...
I can't remember the exact language, and I don't know if it's mandatory or if it's discretionary.
I believe it's discretionary. I believe it's may.
I believe the language is may. I don't know that necessarily it's mandatory that the local firm has to be chosen. I'm not sure on that.
I would assume it would be permissive.
Mm-hmm, permissive.
And I'll try to pull it on my phone really quickly. Okay.
Mr. Rodecker, you had a comment?
Yeah, my comment was what Mr. Hammond was talking about, and I don't agree. Just because staff recommends it, we should just approve it. We can't question it. We can't ask why. And I don't understand why we're not allowed to consider having one firm do both sides instead of two. Why can't we make a motion and approve that? Except that, as I understand it, we don't know the fee structure for what that would be. So since we don't even have that to consider, I don't know how we move forward on this. And maybe it's not a huge amount of money, but that's what we're here for. We're here to make this decision. In fact, it's the only decision that we have to make today. And since that's what we've been charged with, I look at it objectively. The chair asked the question, is there any reason why we can't have one firm? And she asked several other questions. Is there precedent? Is there SEC actions? The answers are no. So then why are we doubling the workload? And presumably significantly increasing the cost, except that we don't know how much we're increasing the cost because we don't have anything to compare it to.
Well, may I respond to that?
Well,
can we just vote?
Yeah, I was going to, taking the prerogative of the chair, I think that your position has been stated, Mr. Hammond, Mr. Rodecker, and at this point I think we're getting a little far afield of the issue, and I think it is something that we need to have a healthy debate, and I'm not trying to squelch the healthy debate. Would you accept that?
Absolutely.
And Mr. Rodecker as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I weigh in. At this time, I think we need to just call the vote. We have a first and a second on the selection of Squire Patton Boggs, but I don't think this subject is going to go away. We're going to be talking about what our role in our and what we would do in the future in our policies and procedures, and it is healthy to do that. So let us call the question. Madam Clerk, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Member Friedenrich?
You know, usually you start with the next one and go through.
Oh.
That's what you do. So you're not always first.
Okay.
I don't mind going first.
I apologize.
Sorry.
Member Moore?
No.
Member Rodecker?
No.
Member Hammond?
Yes.
Member Groner?
Yes.
Member Friedenrich?
Oh, my.
Yes.
No.
Tie vote fails. May I add something that I considered that if I might through the chair?
Yes.
What I did, I know it's a subjective process. I looked at the variety of the answers for the people who were on the panel, because I realized when the panel went, they had chosen Squire Patton Boggs because it was clearly they were ahead in terms of the score. When it was rescored, which I don't really agree, I didn't think that these should be rescored. You know, my thought would be to direct staff, if it had been approved, to go back and have the fee even lower, to negotiate with them to lower it, because it seemed like the change was in the fee.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the variation, I noticed that when I looked at the firm seemed to be higher in terms of the relevant number of transactions. They had a five, or the other didn't have any five. So I thought there was enough subjectivity. Anyway, it was just my thoughts on it.
Well, I think that's part of the memo that we need to talk about, whether or not we can talk about the pricing. It probably exceeds what we're supposed to do here.
Right.
But we are going to talk about that. So at this point, staff will have to make further recommendations of what we can do. I would hope that Oric and other people will rebid if that's where we're at, and the Squires firm and other ones, but we have to step out of that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when this goes to the board if they disregard our vote.
I can say that not moving forward with a recommended disclosure council will delay the financing. I can also say to Member Friedenrich's comments that with a recommendation that does allow staff the ability to go back and further negotiate a price and the expenses.
I thought you told us we couldn't do that.
Staff. By the policies is can negotiate.
So we can direct you to do that.
Yes, part of the policies, the staff is actually tasked once the recommendation here, and then we move on to contract negotiations.
Well, can we make a subjective motion, such as?
Yes, make one.
My motion would be to approve if the existing council can do it for 80% of the bid. Then I would approve that we have them do it.
I don't think you can be that specific.
Yeah.
Can we help you out?
Do you understand
here?
Where I'm going with
yes,
this?
Yes, maybe we can help you out. Are you making a motion to direct staff to renegotiate?
Uh huh. Yes.
To negotiate?
Yes, I'd
but
motion.
They're not. Who are they negotiating with? Because you haven't approved the selection or the recommendation.
See, that's
you
the
go
problem.
Go back to everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
No, what I'm suggesting is if you approve the staff recommendation and direct staff to negotiate with the recommended proposer,
once there is a approved recommendation, that gives staff the ability to start the negotiation process.
That would not be my motion.
And that's, I think that's contained in the contract policy manual.
We're trying to help you expedite the process.
Well, we can have a special meeting and they can come back and we can get it expedited.
Well, won't you submit this to the board as is? I mean, why do you even have to pay attention to us?
Well, at the conclusion of the meeting, we'll see. That's not our desire. That is definitely not our desire. The county staff would prefer not to work that way, but at the conclusion of the meeting, we'll discuss with council what the options are.
And I'm sure you'll let us know and keep us in the loop. Do we have any further comments or agenda items from the public?
Is there a possibility that we can approve or we can ask staff to renegotiate with ORIC and have, if ORIC does both sides of it, if they can do the second part of it for 80% of the bid that we got?
I don't think we can. No. That's the problem, is we can't do that.
That's outside of the RFP process, outside of the evaluation committee's role.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what we need to discuss when we talk about the RFP process. Yes, ma'am.
And the only last thing I'll bring up is because the, if what county council is saying is that the new pricing was really for FYI, it really shouldn't have been included in the ratings of what we had, is what I'm hearing from county council, is it would go back to the old ratings. And now that that information is out there, is there any, if everyone didn't understand that the it wasn't tied, because I'm the one that brought up that it was tied because of the information and I had asked staff on it, but if it was the 259, 256, if that was not clear, should we have a revote to make sure that that information really, we should ignore this and we should go back to the original sheets to look at those, because we really shouldn't have access to this information. That would be my only thought, is if the chair would entertain, if council would say that would be a motion we could do, now that that information is very clear, we shouldn't rely on it, would that make a difference?
Madam Treasurer, I understood every
okay.
bit of it.
All right, just making sure. Just trying to help.
The other committee members, were they in any way okay. confused? Don't believe so. The motion's been called.
Okay, no problem.
None. In next agenda item, any public comments? Any further items? Motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Aye.
Well, I'm sorry that we weren't able to get this through.
See you next.